Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. I am in Long Beach, California today for the Scuba Show. We're going to cover a few things about the show today as much as possible, but really the big show that I'm going to record from the show floor will air next Saturday, as we have to work in advance due to our travel schedule. But it is a massive event happening in Long Beach, California this weekend. So if you're anywhere near the area, make sure you get to the Scuba Show, scubashow.com. By the way, so I got a few other things we're going to cover as well, and I'm going to kick it off today with Roz from the UK coming in from across the pond. Roz, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you, Greg. How are you?
I'm great. Now I'm talking with Roz from the UK. It's always a pleasure to catch up with my friend from across the pond. So and I know you are you're plugged in. You know, you're always doing stuff. You're always in the know when it comes to who's getting what and doing what in the dive industry. And today is no different than any other, because you have, I assume this guy is a friend of yours, this photographer friend that got this big award. What's going on?
He's more a friendly colleague.
Okay.
Yes, Alex Mustard. So fantastic news. We've just had the Queen's birthday, and she has an honours list that she announces every year on her birthday. And these are given to people who have done distinguished service or they've done distinguished achievements in their particular field.
Wow.
And in this instance, Alex Mustard, who's he's a doctor, he's a marine biologist.
Yeah.
He's got the X Factor when it comes to underwater photography, and he's going to get an MBE. He's going to be made a member of the most excellent order of the British Empire for his work in underwater photography.
How about that? He's actually getting an award from the Queen of England.
Yep, he is.
Amazing. So that's like being knighted, you know, or something, isn't it? That's kind of a big deal.
No, it's not he's not being made a sir. So he's not being knighted,
Yeah, this is like the Queen knighting, you know, Sir Elton John or something, but saying, okay, you're a diver, so I'm not going to knight you, but I'm going to give you a cool award or something, right? Is that fair?
Well, they have investitures where they give these awards out, and at the investiture, some people will be knighted, yes, but Alex won't be knighted, but he will get this, so it's still a big deal.
Yeah. Well, does he get a plaque or something, or a statue, or a free pass to Buckingham Palace? What do you know?
He gets a medal.
A medal. Okay, well, that's even cooler. Wow, that'd be something. So I would imagine he's a pretty happy underwater photographer today. Is that fair?
He's delighted. Well, he got an envelope through the post, and it said Her Majesty's Services on it. And he thought, oh, this is going to be a tax bill. I don't know if I want to open this.
Right.
So he opened it, being the responsible citizen that he is. And there was a letter from a palace asking if he would like to accept this honour.
How about that?
And he has to keep it very secret, which he did.
Yeah.
And he said he was delighted and shocked, or more accurately, shocked and delighted.
Yeah.
Because 15 years ago, he made a difficult decision to decide to leave science and go into photography full time.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a tough few years. He's become a massive success.
Well, that is that's very cool. That's Alex Mustard. I'm not familiar with his name in the underwater photography world, but evidently he's kind of a big deal, especially across the pond. are all over.
Oh, honestly, Google him up. He does. He photographs fish with attitude.
Okay.
He has got the complete magic touch when it comes to taking photographs.
Mm-hmm.
He's right up there with Ernie Brooks.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
He is a fabulous photographer. So if you really want to go and look at some gorgeous, gorgeous fish porn, just Google up Alex Mustard and you will see some really beautiful, stunning, funny, clever underwater photography.
Well, I've never had somebody's work referred to as fish porn, but I guess that is appropriate. If he has a knack for catching, that moment where fish have an attitude, and that's what you're saying. He has a way with his photos to get across their, I don't know, their personality or something, or what do you mean exactly?
Yeah, he really does. He really does. There's a famous photograph of him meeting the Queen, mm-hmm. and in the background there's a grouper looking on. And this grouper, you can imagine him on a Saturday night in a rough part of town going, come on, men, if you think you're hard enough. This grouper has got massive attitude about him.
Hmm. Okay.
And how Alex turned that fish from being a fish into a fish with attitude, I don't know. But he's done it perfectly.
How about that? So the Queen, if she's given him an award or she gave him a medal, I mean, I would assume she's a fan of underwater photography. Is she a diver, or has she dove in her years, or do you have any idea if any of those folks have?
Well, Prince Philip, I think, was a diver. Prince Philip was a mad, mad seaman. He loves the sea, absolutely.
Yeah.
And he was chairman of the British Sub-Aqua Club. But Prince Charles, don't forget, Prince Charles was the all-action man, wasn't he? And he was actively diving. He dived the Mary Rose, which is a Tudor wreck, which was found on the south coast of England, which was a complete time capsule. He dived that. He's dived various other things. He was chairman of the British Sub-Aqua Club as well. And William, his son, and Harry, they both dive.
Wow. Yeah, so, have you ever called them and said, hey, guys, I got a wreck dive coming up. You want to join me? I'm Roz. I'm kind of a big deal. Yeah, you know that.
It would be really fun.
Of course.
To take William and Harry diving.
I bet it would. That would be quite an experience for sure. Well, I didn't know they were divers. So that's covered over there. Every now and then you guys hear about them jumping in the water on a rare occasion, or is it usually way after the fact?
Normally way after the fact.
Yeah.
But when William became chairman of the British Sub-Aqua Club, president. Philip, Charles, and William have all been presidents of the British Sub-Aqua Club. When William took over the reins, there was a big press call. There was a press call at an outside pool in London, and we knew about that on the day and the day after.
Okay, so you keep talking about the British Aqua Club. That's what you're saying? I just want to make sure I get
the British Sub-Aqua Club.
So that is what exactly? You know, you're talking to some American schlub that has no idea what this is. What is the British Aqua Club?
So about 60 years ago, a couple of people got together and formed a diving club. And it's built over the years so that you now got headquarters and you've got lots of clubs throughout the country and places like Japan and Australia, New Zealand, and it's got its own syllabus. I've done some BSAC training. I'm a BSAC advanced instructor. So we know how to drive boats. We know how to tie knots. We know how to read charts. We know how to navigate. So it fills in gaps, but some training you don't always get this training in other agencies. So I'm also a PADI instructor.
Yeah.
So PADI will have its strengths and BSAC has its strengths. And if you dive with both agencies, then you're a pretty rounded diver. If you're just a PADI diver, or if you're just a BSAC diver, yes, you're a diver and you're a pretty good one, but you'll miss gaps in your education. So by going and training with another agency and doing a course with another agency, you get chinks in your education filled in.
Okay.
And it makes you a better rounded diver.
Well, you always want more chinks. I think that's what she
no,
said.
No, you want less chinks.
Okay.
You want less gaps in your education.
Okay, that's what that means. I just wanted to clarify that because I had a feeling we're going to get
what,
a bunch
a chink,
of
chink. Do you know when you don't close the curtains quite and you have light coming through it?
Yeah.
You have a chink of light.
Okay, we'll go with that. That sounds way better than what I was thinking, which I figured would get us tons of hate mail. And so I'm glad you clarified that. But so be
so you
sad.
End up, well, you end up with small gaps in your education.
Yeah,
so
and you don't want that. No.
So if you train with various agencies, then you'll find that each agency has a specialism.
That's right.
You
you're fully covered. Fully covered.
Yeah,
you know, see,
covered.
We learn stuff with Roz from the UK every time we speak with her. Things I didn't even know I needed to know, but now we do. All right, and we got more with her next. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Explore new places. Make new friends. Do cool things. With more than 70% of our planet covered in water, why limit your possibilities for happiness and enjoyment? Let the National Association of Underwater Instructors, NAUI, lead you in your quest for underwater exploration and entertainment. Visit a NAUI facility or locate a NAUI instructor near you at NAUI.org.
Come as a guest, leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures Liveaboards. It doesn't matter if you're traveling solo, with a buddy or group. Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. For proof, know Explore Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. They're also the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. You've likely heard us talk about Explore Ventures Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise trips many times, and we invite you to join us on the next one. However, whether we're on board with you or not, I'll bet an Explore Ventures liveaboard trip will be one of the best dive experiences you've ever had. It just doesn't get any better. Save the St. Kitts, Turks and Caicos, the Galapagos, Maldives, Indonesia, humpback whales, and the Silver Banks. New destinations and itineraries are being added all the time. Call one of their talented travel consultants to find the Explore Ventures liveaboard experience that's just right for you. 1-800-322-3577. That's 1-800-322-3577. Or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Isn't this exciting?
It is. It's fun. You know what? I think I'm going to skip the scuba diving.
Ruben, no, no, you called 8 hotels. They all said that this guy was the best.
I know, but you know how I am about boats, and I'm feeling a little queasy.
Oh, no, your stomach's acting funny.
It's okay now, but I think it might, you know how it gets, you know? So why don't you go?
We're on a honeymoon. I'm not going to go without you.
No, you've been wanting to try this. I want you to go, okay?
Oh.
It'll be fun. I'll pick you up like at 4 o'clock, all right?
I love you.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. Roz from the UK is with me right now. We are connected via two cans and a really long piece of string. It sounds like she's really right there with us today, but she's kind of far away. But she's educating us, or at least me, on a few things, how they do diving there in Britain and other places like that across the pond. So I appreciate the cultural exchange today, Roz. It's always enlightening for an American dude like myself. You hear what I'm saying? And I mean that as a compliment.
You're very welcome, Greg.
Yeah.
So today I'm in Portsmouth.
Okay.
which is on the south coast, and it's a home port of where the Royal Navy lives.
All right, very nice. And are you diving, or what are you doing?
Actually, I'm doing some cleaning because I used to live down here, and I've still got a flat down here, and I've got a tenant living in here, and so, you know, completely non-diving stuff.
Okay, yes. All that necessary stuff you got to do on your surface interval. I understand.
Yes.
But you did just complete some diving. Just a week or so ago, you did some crazy wreck dive or something again, or what? You're always doing
something. I was on the south coast. I was on the south coast just up the road from Portsmouth,
yeah,
a couple of hours in a place called Swanage. And, of course, 100 years ago, we were still at war with Germany, weren't we?
Okay.
Still the First World War. Well, there was a cargo and passenger luxury liner that was built in Scotland in 1903 called the Chiara, and she sunk. She was torpedoed on the 26th of May 1918, just off Swanage, and six people died in her boiler room. Everybody got off, but a bunch of friends and I got to dive the Chiara 100 years and 2 hours after she sunk.
Oh, on the 100-year anniversary of the sinking.
Yes,
cool is
and
that?
It was very, very special. We had really good visibility. It was a good bunch of friends. We all went down. We had a fantastic dive on her. Somebody went and laid a wreath to mark the six men who lost their lives.
Right.
What struck me, Greg, was, and this was a short boat ride out of Swanage, was the fact that I was sitting on the boat, all kitted up, ready to jump in on my unit. And you could just see Swanage there. You could see the White Coast line there. And it was quite close. So this submarine was just off our coast.
And that's what sank it, huh?
When she torpedoed Chiara.
Yeah.
I mean, she was very, very close. You think about... So you're in Long Beach. You know where Queen Mary is?
Right. Yeah, sure.
Right. So you imagine that you walk out the front door of a Long Beach dive show and look across to the Queen Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Right. She's not that far away, is she?
No. And that's where it was when it sank? Right off the
that's
coast?
That's the kind of distance we're talking about.
Mm. Well, that, I don't know. They probably thought they were pretty safe when they were sitting there, and then this submarine got them when they weren't looking kind of thing. Surprised them? Wow.
UB-57 went and torpedoed them, yes.
Yeah. How big of a ship are we talking here?
She was about 6,000 tons.
Okay. Pretty good sized vessel. And
so she was 415 feet long.
Okay. And so
that's 126 meters.
Right. And you were diving how deep to go down and check this wreck out?
Oh, only about 30 meters. So that's... about 100 foot.
And you're doing this on your rebreather system?
Yes. But, I mean, we had other people on twin sets. They were diving doubles. We had some people on single scuba sets. But it was some of us on rebreathers. So it was a real mix of equipment.
Yeah. So what was the overall mission then? You're just going down there and enjoying a cool wreck dive on a 100-year anniversary? Or are you going down there writing an article, taking pictures and video? Or were you just soak in the whole experience?
So we dived it to for the commemoration dive. We dived it for fun.
Yeah.
I dived it for an article. A friend of mine dived it for footage, mm-hmm, to get images. Somebody else dived it to put down a wreath. So, yes, we all dived it for different reasons.
Yeah. Well, really, that sounds kind of nice. And, I mean, was that the only dive you did that day, or did you guys bounce around to some different places?
Dived it again in the afternoon dive, and the visibility was awful.
Really?
Because the tide had changed.
Right.
And, so you looked at it completely differently.
Mm. It's one of those you got to hit it like slack tide or something, or it just depends on what's going on?
No,
at that
slack
time.
Tide.
Yeah.
Slack tide.
Mm-hmm.
So you can dive it twice a day.
Okay. All right. It's one of those. I gotcha. Well, that sounds kind of cool.
But she was literally a mile off Anvil Point, which is very close to the coast. So, you know, it's quite startling how close that German submarine got to us.
Yeah. A lot of things could have changed back in the day. You know, don't realize how history is, just determined by a one little event. Well, it probably wasn't a little one at the time, but you know, you just don't know, right? And that's why you go down there and check that stuff out. It's kind of neat to see history like that face to face. So I would assume you took a few pictures yourself, didn't you? Or did you just go down there to soak it all in?
Well, I was spinning around, busy scribbling down notes. So.
Oh, okay. You're writing your article literally underwater. That sounds like Roz. All right. Well, cool. Well, that sounds like something that I need to do some more of that type of stuff. I haven't really gotten into the whole wreck diving thing, but it's on my list, as well as a bunch of other stuff. But I know you got some other things that you've been working on lately. I keep seeing this stuff about balloons on your Facebook timeline there, Roz.
Yes, I'm trying not to be a train spotter about it, Greg. But honestly, when you've got things like the Indy 500 letting off, you know, how many balloons? And
I'm going to go with 500, but...
Thank you. You have your cultural reference better than I do.
Okay. Yeah.
But there's a trend, Greg, that when someone dies, people tend to let off balloons and send messages to heaven. And I understand that they use it as a physical mechanism to cope with their grief.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a great way of doing it, because they probably don't realize the balloons don't go to heaven, the messages don't go to heaven. You know, and I know what ends up in our oceans. And
that's true. It's not marine life friendly, these balloons. They're made of rubber and all that stuff that doesn't decompose as quick as it should.
Well, actually, it's not life friendly, because I know of a number of horses and ponies that have choked to death on these balloons.
Oh, I don't like that. All right, hold on. You know, we got more with Roz from the UK next. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. Roz from the UK is with me. And one of the things she's been really sounding off on lately, especially on her Facebook page, has been balloons. You know, she's not a fan. You know, you hear all this news about don't use plastic straws and forks and spoons and stuff like that because, you know, the plastics are taking over the ocean. I haven't honestly heard a lot about balloons, but you are definitely, you know, sounding the alarm that this is something people need to pay attention to as well. Right, Roz?
Yes, I am. But, Greg, I'm not a lone voice. You've got lobbying groups in Australia, and you've got some in America. You've got a number of us all saying the same thing, that, you know, balloon releases are bad. You know, we love balloons, but balloon releases are bad because you end up with ponies choking and horses choking. You know, you end up with cattle eating this stuff and dying.
Yeah, well, look, I'm with you. I mean, it's just one of those things I never really put much thought into before I started seeing you post stuff up on Facebook a few months ago.
And it's trying to explain to, you know, I heard about a school doing it in America, and I wrote to the school and said, look, I know that you're trying to empower your kids about into thinking, you know, embracing freedom and, you know, thinking in a positive manner, but releasing a bunch of balloons, can you come up with something better? This is why it's such a not a great idea. And I explained about, you know, the stuff is not biodegradable, and yes, it is made out of latex.
Yeah.
And the balloon industry go, oh, it's latex, it's friendly, it dissolves as soon as it hits the water, but it doesn't. And they say, oh, it takes as long to decompose as an oak leaf. Well, an oak leaf is a really robust leaf, Greg, and they start taking about 4 years before they start to rot. Well, balloon can kill quite a lot in 4 years.
Yeah.
And then you've got the strings attached, which are plastic, that never rot, that entangle birds. And you find these birds dead where they've been wrapped up in trees and they've starved to death.
Yeah, and God forbid if they make it down to the ocean and mess with the critters that we like to see. And we don't want that as divers. Roz, great stuff as always. We will catch up again soon, okay?
Take care, my dear.
All right, we got more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
A lot of people call me the Scuba Shrink or Dr. Debbie. I am a psychiatrist and an extreme diver, and I love the sea like all of you. You're listening to Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. And now here's Craig, the dive master, someone I'd certify as, absolutely nuts. But you know what? I love nuts.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. I'm in Long Beach, California this weekend, and maybe I'll run into Dr. Debbie and have her put me down on the couch and offer up some diving therapy. I don't even need her, though. I just go diving. That's what I do. That'd keep me sane to as much as sane I can be. So we'll leave it at that. All right. So moving on, we got the dive god, Mr. Neil Watson, on Scuba Radio right now to catch up. How you doing, Neil?
I am doing great, Gregory. I am doing great. The water temperature is finally above 80, so my 80-80-80 rule of a minimum of 80-degree water temperature visibility and something else is in play. So I'm ready to start getting wet again, man.
All right.
Big time.
There you go.
Actually, I was over in Bimini last week, visited my son, and my daughter and granddaughter flew over with me, and we had a couple of great days over there. It was absolutely beautiful. I just forget how amazing the water is over there.
No doubt.
50 years, and it just... I'm just still in awe of the visibility.
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, a friend of mine was asking me about some potential places to go. He had been all throughout the Caribbean and been to a bunch of islands, you know, Grenada and Bonaire and Cayman Islands and stuff. And I said, look, have you been over to the Bahamas? And he goes, well, actually, no. And I'm like, what? Well, you flew right over some of the best diving you could ever imagine. And it's closer. He goes, well, where out in the Bahamas? I said, well, why don't you just go over to Bimini? It's the closest island to the States, you know, 40, 50 miles, or you can take they got that new Bahamas shuttle now, too, right? Is that going to Bimini or some other island?
Yeah, no. There's a fast ferry that runs out of Miami, Port of Miami, I think 3 or 4 days a week, leaves at 8 o'clock in the morning. You're in Bimini at 10. Clear customs, and you get in an afternoon. You could go over for one night and dive an afternoon dive on your arrival, party down. The next day, do a two-tank dive because you're not flying. You're going back on the boat, so you don't have to worry about the diving and flying.
Mm-hmm.
And the boat leaves at 6 o'clock in the evening, gets back at 8 o'clock. Amazing 2-day trip. You get in as many days of diving as you would in a 4-day, 3-night trip flying somewhere.
Well, there you go. And you can go stay at the fancy resort on the North End or go smack dab in the middle of the town and stay at the big game club and really kind of get more of the local flavor. But they have like the best of both worlds over there. And that's what I told them. I said, easy to get to, whether you have a non-diving spouse or you just want to have some topside distractions. They got that on Bimini now, too. But you really get that out island vibe, which is what I love about Bimini. And I know you do, too. But the diving is always great. I mean, the visibility there in Bimini is always just spectacular. A lot of times,
you know, I've dove the Caribbean, I've dove the world, and you're hard pressed to find a place that always has consistently amazing visibility. But it's the uniqueness of the island. The island is like less than a mile from the Gulf Stream. So every time you get the tide change, it draws in that pristine, clear water from the Gulf Stream. It's like a pool filter
right.
Twice a day coming into Bimini. So the visibility is just amazing. I mean, the harbor is cleaner than my pool. It's just, well, then again, that's not saying much either. So. I don't want to make that comparison.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Yeah. I a pool filter sounds pretty good. I was going to say it's kind of like a constant toilet flush they have through there.
Well, that'll do too.
But I don't think it's as good as a marketing slogan.
But
you got the stingray dive. You got the sharks, obviously, that gets all the publicity. You got the wild dolphins, and that's what I went off on them. I just said, hey, wait, you need to go over there and do that. But I said, you can do a little bit of everything over there in Bimini. And he was like, really? Yeah. I'm thinking, yeah. I said, why don't you know this? He goes, I haven't been listening to your show enough.
There you go.
So there you go.
No, the dolphins are amazing. I mean, I love sharks. But the dolphins are just spectacular.
Yeah,
and it's great for non-divers because both the stingray safari and the dolphin wild dolphin safari is just snorkeling. So you don't even have to be a diver.
Yeah,
it's one of the few places in the world that you don't have to do a liveaboard to interact with wild dolphins. You know, a lot of places you have to go out on a liveaboard, spend a week rocking and rolling, you know, to interact with these animals. And, you know, we've had these pods of spotted dolphins living up off the north end of Bimini for literally generations. And you leave in the afternoon at 1 o'clock, you're up there at 2 o'clock, you're in the water, swimming with the animals, and yeah. I mean they're amazing to interact with. So it's a great trip.
It's quite an experience. One of the things he asked me though, and I was like, well, I think they just know where they go all the time. He goes, if they're wild dolphins, how do they know where to go? Do they cruise around, you know, the whole island? I said, well, there's this one particular area which is on the north side of Bimini. Is it like the Salt Flats or something or whatever or what?
Well, it's just the bank, the Bimini
Bank. Okay.
It's about maybe 2 or 3 miles north of the north tip of the island, and there's several pods, and I mean there's some locals that have been interacting with these dolphins, for 10-15 years, and you know, I mean, their name, they know the children, and mm-hmm. I mean, it's very cool.
All right. Okay, so they know where to go, and the dolphins can find them, or vice versa. So, I said they hardly ever miss. They always find them at some point and have a little adventure. But, Bimini, obviously, a place most people should go if they haven't been already. And it's worth multiple trips, trust me. And I know Junior there is working hard, but he's got a thing going right now or planning a thing for Shark Week. Or what's going on?
Yeah, we've been doing a lot of film crews and film work over there. Actually, we're doing a Shark Week shoot. We had two film crews there. Neil Jr. was up at Tiger Beach with the big boat last week doing some filming. And then we had another crew that was on Bimini. We were doing some neat stuff out in the mangroves and stuff. And he's heading off on an expedition that I can't talk about, but you'll see it on Shark Week, and it's pretty exciting.
Can I ask you this much? You know, because I've talked about this trailer they've been showing for Shark Week, and I'm not sure what's going on, but it's the 30-year anniversary of Shark Week this summer, and they're running this promo with Shaq, and they start off on a close-up of him with a mask and snorkel, and he just goes, I thought they said it was Shark Week. And then they pan out, and he's in a shark cage, and he's like, Shaq don't do sharks. And I was like, hey, that's great. He's going to be the spokesperson for Shark Week this year. This could be fun. Just trying to find a pair of fins that fit this guy. But then I saw another promo that featured Shania Twain. So I don't know if he's actually hosting the week or if they're just doing a bunch of celebrity cut-ins like that for promos. But I guess you know, but you can't say. Is that what you're going to tell me now?
Well, what I know and can't say isn't that. So I can say it. It's not that, but that would be cool.
Like I said, just finding a pair of fins big enough to fit him would be a 1-hour episode worth watching.
Shark Week. Yeah, Yeah. Mm-hmm. Years ago, remember Willard Scott on the Today Show? He was the weatherman.
Yeah.
I had to get him in a wetsuit, and Al Roker as well, back when Al Roker was a really, really big guy.
Before the big weight loss, and what? Did that take a little while to squeeze him in there? Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they're always doing some cool stuff. So I have no doubt. I mean, last year they did a big feature on Neil Watson Jr. interacting with the Hammerheads right there in Bimini. So this year it's around Bimini, or you can't even say that much. It's just in the Bahamas.
Well, some of it's in Bimini, and some of it is in off Andros.
Okay.
In the tongue of the ocean.
All right. Well, that'll give us something to look forward to. We got more with the dive god, Neil Watson, next. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Come as a guest, leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures Liveaboards. It doesn't matter if you're traveling solo, with a buddy or group. Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. For proof, know Explorer Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. They're also the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. You've likely heard us talk about Explorer Ventures Scuba Radio scuba cruise trips many times, and we invite you to join us on the next one. However, whether we're on board with you or not, I'll bet an Explorer Ventures liveaboard trip will be one of the best dive experiences you've ever had. It just doesn't get any better. Save the St. Kitts, Turks and Caicos, the Galapagos, Maldives, Indonesia, humpback whales, and the Silver Banks. New destinations and itineraries are being added all the time. Call one of their talented travel consultants to find the Explorer Ventures liveaboard experience that's just right for you. 1-800-322-3577. That's 1-800-322-3577. Or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Traffic sucks, unless you're scuba diving with Mike Scott.
Mike glanced down at his dive computer. It showed less than 50 PSI left in his tank. Probably just a few more breaths.
Or riding shotgun in a thrilling car chase.
One bullet hit the Jeep's windshield, spiderwebbing the passenger side. Mike shifted into second gear and felt the Jeep leap forward. This just got serious.
Escape your commute with audiobooks from author Eric Douglas. Download to your phone. Go to booksbyeric.com or audible.com.
Explore new places. Make new friends. Do cool things. With more than 70% of our planet covered in water, why limit your possibilities for happiness and enjoyment? Let the National Association of Underwater Instructors, NAUI, lead you in your quest for underwater exploration and entertainment. Visit a NAUI facility or locate a NAUI instructor near you at NAUI.org.
Surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
I'm a guppy, and I'm trying to mate with a dolphin. You guys are bottom feeders. You're like those fish that swim into other fish's mouths and eat bacteria off their teeth.
There's no such fish. You made that fish up.
Okay, it's an analogy. I'm not going to debate the existence of the literal fish with you, because it's not relevant.
Well, good, because it doesn't exist.
That is a real fish.
God, it's getting hard to breathe this way. Everybody's life is on display. It's gotten out of control. Tell me, do you feel exposed? Well, welcome to the fishbowl.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. I got the dive god, Mr. Neil Watson, with me right now. He's got like 6-7 world records. No big deal. Yeah, he actually is a very big deal. And we're honored to have him on the show once again. You know, it's been a couple weeks, but I figured that was enough for you to dry out since the Rum Renaissance Festival down there in South Florida. So are you still hungover, or what's going on there, Neil?
The liver is recovered.
Okay.
I got over the dry heaves and laid off the sauce for a couple of days, and I'm ready to go again.
All right.
Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah, my buddy Captain Walt, though, he did it 2 days in a row. I'm an amateur compared to this guy.
Well,
I could do one day, and that was it.
Well, I may reach out to him an hour or two. We'll see. There may not have been enough time to pass yet, but we'll find out if he's still in Gomez mode or Raul. Raul didn't show up, did he?
No, Raul didn't. No, okay. Well, maybe the second day.
Well, that's right. You weren't with him, so we'll have to find out.
Yeah, I wasn't with him.
Yeah. All right. So, and by the way, did you find some more rum to sample when you're not diving there at this big festival?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was some amazing rums there. So much rum in so little time.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. And actually, there was a reef relief booth at the show.
Yeah.
And they were promoting the mooring buoys and all of this down in Miami.
Okay.
And I did a little $10 contribution for a raffle. And I never, ever win anything. And about an hour later at the show, I get a text, hey, come back to the booth. You just won a great bottle of rum. And it was a plantation, 5-year-old, great rum, $50 bottle of rum. So
sweet. From Barbados, plantation
from
rum.
Barbados, absolutely.
That is what I drank on my 55th birthday on the Explorer Ventures boat in Ceiba. I went into the local liquor store in St. Martin. I said, hey, I want a fancy birthday rum to celebrate for my trip this week. And the lady said, try this one. And I think it was a 20-year-old plantation rum.
So you had a rum cake without the cake.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Perfect.
Yeah.
That's my boy.
It was tasty.
That's my boy.
Yeah, we celebrated it in style.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know you're going to do something special when you bring an extra bottle of rum on a boat that already provides that to you for free.
There you go.
But it was, my birthday, so what the heck.
Yeah.
So we had a good time. But yeah, one of these days I want to get down there to this rum festival. That sounds like a heck of a lot of fun. So next time that happens, we're going to have to
coordinate. They had like a Cuban cigar roller there, rolling cigars and some good music, and it was very cool. It was a lot of fun.
See, these are the things that you should partake in. When you're not diving, you want to make the most of your surface interval, and that's where these type of activities, kind of work, I think, when you're diving, especially throughout the Caribbean and some of these cool places. You need to know your rums and your cigars and all that kind of good stuff.
Absolutely.
All right. Now, so Neil has all kinds of world records, one of them being the deepest dive on air. And this was back in the 70s you did this, Neil, right?
Actually, it was 50 years ago this year.
Oh, wow.
1968.
Okay.
68,
so, yeah. And that was the dive that you were awarded a Rolex watch?
Well, Rolex gave me a watch, a Submariner.
Yeah.
To do the dive with.
Very
which
cool.
I also wore it on my distance records and flying records and all kind of other cool records.
All right. So, pretty big deal. I mean, a pricey piece of jewelry around your wrist, but they obviously saw the marketing, value of that, and they wanted to award you accordingly, I guess, right?
Well, most of my sponsors for that said, look, they weren't sponsors. They said, we're going to give you this product to test, but we're not sponsoring it.
Okay.
But in the event you live, and because the odds were I wasn't.
Right.
In the event you live, get us some pictures. Maybe we'll do something with it. So Rolex gave me the watch, and, I've worn it on and off for 50 years, and I just started wearing it again. I sent a watch off to have some work done it, and I was with my buddy Greg Holt down in the Keys doing taping the show in the Jules Undersea Habitat.
Right, in the lodge there,
Yes, and Jan Kublik, which was our host and owns it, is a big Rolex aficionado, and actually he has a a Rolex that's quite valuable. Mm-hmm. And he asked me about my Rolex, and I told him the history of it, and he said, geez, that might be worth some money.
Right.
Send it to me, let me research it. So the letter I got back is, Dear Neil, it lost its value when Rolex changed out the dial.
Oh!
So sorry about that. It's still worth $4,000 or $5,000.
That's good, yeah.
But it would have been $200,000+.
No!
You ever see that grown man cry?
No. Always a pleasure, my friend.
Absolutely, Gregory.
All right.
Hang in there and have fun in Long Beach.
Yes. We got more coming up in hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Stay close.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know, what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.